want to speak about a topic that has many implications and through it speak about a lot of different details of the Sedra, the beginning of the Sedra at least, and explain it. All these questions have individual answers too, but what I'm going to tell you has one derech to answer a lot of questions and explain a very, very difficult parsha in the Torah. Okay, I'm just going to have to leave on my cell phone. I have someone in the hospital is very sick, and there's a lot of pikuach nefesh questions that have to be asked, and they can't wait. So if a call comes through, I'm going to have to answer it. Okay. The Rashi, in the beginning of the Sedra, Vayisrotzitzu Habonim Bekirba, that Rivka Imenu has these two embryos that are struggling with each other. Abnormal. And Chazal say that whenever Rivka passed by a Beis Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to go out. And whenever she passed by a Beis Medrash, Yaakov wanted to go out. Now that Medrash seems to be very interesting, but on the surface it is a contradiction to the foundation of the whole Torah. Because that Medrash seems to imply that Yaakov and Esav were predestined, one to be a Rosh and one to be a Tzaddik. That they were, from the time that they were conceived, already one was going after Avodah Zarah and one was going after Torah. So when did they have free choice? And that is the antithesis of Kol HaTorah Kula. Nope. Beyond that, there's a question on this on another Gemara. The Gemara says that Rebbe and Antoninus argued, when exactly does the Yetzer Hara enter a person? When does a person start having a Yetzer Hara? Antoninus said the Yetzer Hara does not enter a person until he's born. And Rebbe held that the Yetzer Hara already exists at conception, when he's conceived. And in the end, Antoninus brought a proof from the Torah that the Yetzer Hara does not come to a person before he's born. It starts at birth. If that's the case, this Rashi, which is a Chazal, is a contradiction to that. Because obviously, Esav had a Yetzer Hara before he was born. He wanted to go serve Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we have these two little embryos that already, one's a Tzaddik and one's a Rasha before they're born. Yet Rashi says, Vayigdalu hanaorim, for the first 13 years of their life, no one took notice of them. They both went to school, they both came home from school. But then they turned 13, Esav went out into the fields to hunt, and Yaakov sat in the Bate Medrashos to learn, and now it was obvious who they were. They were already so different when they were in the womb. What happened? All of a sudden, they forgot who they were for 13 years? And the exact day of the bar mitzvah, that's when they changed? People aren't like that. People develop gradually. They don't change overnight. For 13 years, no one could tell any difference between Yaakov and Esav, even though when they were in the womb, they were so different. All of a sudden, they were born, and magic, they're the same two cute little kids. Till they're 13, on their bar mitzvah day, then Esav goes out into the fields, and Yaakov goes into the Bate Midrashas. That doesn't sound normal. Next. Okay, so you have two kids like this. One's out hunting, and one's sitting and learning Torah, and Yitzchak Avinu loves the one who's out hunting. Doesn't he realize he has a son who's sitting and learning Torah, who's doing things much more significant than what Esav is doing? Next. Okay, so maybe Yitzchak didn't recognize who his son was. But when Esau was 15 years old, he came home tired from committing 5 or 3 major averus. Gili arayish, shvichas damim, and avodah zarah. Because of that, Avram Avinu had to die that day, that he shouldn't see Esau go off the derech. That means it was pretty clear, right, that Esau went off the derech. Otherwise, why would Avram Avinu have to die? But Yitzchak Avinu doesn't see it. Why? So, you could say, well, he was blind, he was in the house, but he may have been physically blind, but he was Yitzchak Avinu. He wasn't sensitive to where his kids were holding. Didn't have any idea what Esau just did. Terrible averus. Guy's not just a hunter now. He's a teenage abaryan. I mean, he was over the 3 major sins. Murder, idolatry, and immorality. Can't get worse than that. All on the same day. And Yitzchak doesn't know who his kid is, and he wants to give him the brachas. And I'll tell you that Yitzchak did know the difference between the children. Because Yitzchak was suspicious that the child in front of him was not Esav, even though he claimed to be Esav. How did he know not? 2 things hinted to him. 2 things tipped him off. First of all, this young man mentions God's name. When he's asked how come he came back so fast, he says, Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefanai. And Yitzchak says, I never heard Esav mention God's name. Doesn't sound like Esav. Then he trips up again, and he says, Yakum na'avi, please get up and eat. And Yitzchak says, I never heard Esav say please. Now here's a father, he knows, he has a son that doesn't say please and thank you, so he's not too good, midos wise, bein adam l'chaveiro. He never mentions God's name, not too good, bein adam l'makom. And yet that's the one that he wants to give the brachas to? And again, there are answers to all these questions individually. I'm going to give you one answer to answer them all. Okay, so if somehow Yitzchak doesn't recognize, even though he knows who Esav is and who Yaakov is, seemingly, some way, he still wants to give the brachas to Esav, but Rivka recognizes that Esav's a Rasha. So why doesn't she go to her husband and say, hate to tell you this, but Esav's a Rasha, and here is the facts. And it's not Lashon Hara because it's Toelis, because you plan to give him the brachas and not Yaakov. So she won't exaggerate, and she'll say it to Toelis, and she has nothing against her son, Esav, and all the halachas of Lashon Hara will be fulfilled. She'll tell her husband point blank. Now she has to fool him. She has to send in Yaakov, dressed up as Esav, hoping that Yitzchak won't find out and give the bracha to whom he thinks is Esav, it's really Yaakov. What kind of bracha is that? It's a bracha given by mistake. I think the Ramban says, or the Nitziv, one of the two, I think maybe the Nitziv, that Rivka felt intimidated by Yitzchak. First time she saw him, she fell off her camel. She was so awestruck. So she really couldn't talk to her husband point blank. She felt intimidated. I really don't understand that. Because at the end of the Sedra, Rivka comes to Yitzchak and says, Katzti v'chayayim mipnei b'no shchet. Right? I'm disgusted. If Yaakov will marry one of these women here, then there's no reason for me to live. Send him away. She tells him, ganz fine. Right? Doesn't mince any words. She tells Yitzchak exactly what she wants. Doesn't sound too intimidating. So what happened between the beginning of the Seder, she can't talk to him, and the end of the Seder, she can tell him off and tell him exactly what she wants? Let me read you 2 Rambams. So now we'll start with some answers, but first we have to preface some other questions. Those are the questions on the parsha. Let me read you a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek He from Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Beis. Al Yavor b'machshavtecha dover ze, she'omrim tipshei umos ha'olam, v'rov golmei b'nei Yisrael. Don't let this thought pass through your mind. Don't even entertain the thought that many foolish goyim say, and some unpolished Jews. What is that? What shouldn't you think? Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilas briyoso liyo sadik arosha. Don't even entertain the thought that God decrees on a person before he's born whether he's going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. That people are predestined to be tzaddikim or rashoi. Ein hadover kein. It's not true. Ela kol adam roi lo liyo sadikim o shirabeinu o rasha ki yoravam. Every person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu or a rasha like Yeravam ben Nevat. O sachol. O chacham, o sachol. Or he can be wise or foolish. O rachman, o achzari. He can be merciful or cruel. O kilai, o shua. He can be stingy or generous. V'chein shar kol adeos. And so too with all the other midos. Ve'ein lo mishi chafuhu, no one forces him one way or the other. Ve'lo gozer alav, no one decrees on him. Ve'lo misha moshcho le'echad mishnei adrachim, nothing pulls him to either side. He can be as merciful or as cruel as he wants to be. Elohume atzmo vidaito, nota le'eza derech shiyirta. The person with his own mind and volition pulls himself to either side. The Rambam mentions examples. It could be as wise or as foolish, as cruel or as merciful, as generous or as stingy. And so too with all the other midos. Very clear, Rambam, that what determines what midos a person has? Himself. Period. There's nothing even that pulls him to either side. His own decision. His own free choice, period. Don't think anything else, says the Rambam. Now let me read you another Rambam. Perek Aleph from Hilchos Deos. Halacha Aleph. Deos har ve'yesh l'chol echod ve'echod ne adam. People have many, many midos. Different people have different midos. V'zu mishuna mizu rechoka v'menu b'yoser. And people are very different one from the other. To an extreme. Yesh adam shehu balchema koes tamim. Some people are extremely angry people. Always angry. V'yesh adam shedaitim yushevis alav ve'eno koes klal. V'imichas yichas ka'as ma'at bekam ashanim. Some people are very calm people. Never get angry. If they get angry, it's once in a few years. Very cool, complacent people. So, different kinds of people. V'yeshu bal taiva lo sizba v'yeshu adam shu gavalei b'yoser v'yeshu shvaruah b'yoser. Some people are very haughty. Some people are a nebuchs. They're not haughty at all. Yeshu bal taiva lo sizba nafsho mehalo b'taiva. Some people are very sensual. The Yeshu Baal Leif Tar Miod Lo Yisava Filu Dvorim La'atim Shaguf Tzarech Lehem. Some people have no desire about sensual people at all. The Yesh Baal Nefesh Rechava. Okay, then he says, the Yesh Bein Kol Deya V'Deya, and he gives more examples. People are very stingy, some people are very frugal. Some people are very merciful. Some people are very cruel. V'yesh bein kol deya v'deya harechoka mimena b'ktzei ha'acher deyos bein onios zu rechokas mizu. And it's not just the extremes, but there is an infinite amount of gradation between the extremes. Some people are more cruel. Some people are less cruel. Some people are more merciful, less merciful. All different degrees of midos. Now comes the Iker. B'chol ha'deos. Where do all these midos come from? Should the Rambam say? From a person's free choice, right? Because that's what the Rambam said in Hilchos Tshuva. Now says the Rambam, V'yesh, v'chol ha'deos, yesh mehem deos, shehem lo'odam etchilas b'riyoso l'fi teva gufo. Some of these midos are part of a person's very essence from the time that he's conceived. Here? It's the right same Rambam who said that don't ever think that it is decreed on a person whether he should be merciful or cruel or stingy or generous, which are the same midos he says here. Don't ever think that. The Rambam says sometimes midos are something you're born with. You conceived with. V'yesh mehen deyo shetivo shel adam zeh mechuvan v'asid l'kabalos v'meheri yosem mishar deyo. Some of them you're not born with, but you have a greater predisposition towards. I thought the Rambam said there's nothing that pulls you to either side. Here he says you could be born with it, or it could be something that you have a predisposition. You're more nota, you're more easily prone to this mida, being cruel or merciful, stingy, or generous. Those are the examples. Same examples. V'yesh mehem she'enam la'adam mitchilas b'riyaso. Some of them, Taka, don't come from when you're born. El'alamarasam. He learned from other people. O she'nifter lohem mi'atzvo. Or some of them, he even came on his own. He decided to inculcate this behavior, these midos, in himself. O shishama, or he heard from other people, shizu adeya tovelo, that this is a good thing to do. Uba roi leilech, vihinigatsu ba achenikba believo. And some things a person inculcates within himself. But there are things that you're born with, or that you're born with a predisposition to. Now these two Rambams seem to be totally contradictory. Here the Rambam says, don't entertain such a thought. Here he says himself what he says he shouldn't think. First question. Second question, this Rambam, the Rambam that says that a person is not born with a midos that are either good, bad, or whatever, it's all bechira, is based on a Gemara. The Gemara says the following, that when a person is conceived, a malach comes and takes that first blastula, the cells that are beginning to multiply, and brings them before the Rabbanu Shalom. That doesn't mean literally that he brings them anywhere. It means he presents it before the Rabbanu Shalom in this malach. And the malach says, Tipazu matahayolav. What's going to be with this person? Is he going to be strong or weak? Poor or rich? Handsome or ugly? Chacham o tipesh? Wise or stupid? Aval tzadik v'rosh lo nemar. The only thing that's not decreed, if he's going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, that's not decreed. But everything else, including what does the Gemara say, chacham o tipesh, is going to be smart or not smart. And the Rambam says you can be as smart or as foolish as you want. That contradicts the Gemara too. The Gemara says that is decreed. What isn't decreed if you're going to be a tzaddik or a rasha? But it is decreed if you're going to be smart or not. And the Rambam says you could be as smart as you want or as dumb as you want. That seems to go against that Gemara. So we have a colossal contradiction between the Rambams and a question that even what the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, includes something that the Gemara itself says is decreed. Wisdom. First question is the Rambam contradicts himself. Here the Rambam says, don't ever entertain the thought that one could be born with certain character traits, but they're totally his own free choice. And here the Rambam says, you're born with certain character traits. And he mentions the same ones, same examples. Yeah?
Maybe it's because
That's very nice, but the Rambam says don't even entertain the fact that there is such a thing as being predisposed. Nothing pulls you to one side or the other. In order to understand this, we have to make a very simple distinction. These two Rambams are talking about two completely different things. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos is talking about personality, character traits, and the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva is talking about behavior. Now let me explain what I mean. There is no character trait that is good or bad. Depends how you use it. Example. Person can be born with a predilection to be cruel. Does that mean he's going to be a Rasha? No. Because I'll give you a situation where cruelty is a tzaddik. Right? You're walking down the street, minding your own business, carrying a baseball bat. And a terrorist is on his way to blow himself up and 200 innocent people. And he trips at your feet. He's on the ground now and he asks, could you please pick me up? I'm late for my appointment with the bus that I have to blow up. And the only way you can stop him, it's just you and him, and you have the baseball bat. The only way you can stop him is to beat his brains in with the baseball bat. Or you can have mercy on him, let him go, and let him go blow up the bus with 200 people on it. What do you think is the proper behavior in that situation?
Smash his brains in.
Right. Right. Bash his brains in. No shy. Do you think it's easy to do? But if you have a mean cruelty streak, do you think you'll be able to do it easily? Yeah. If you're squeamish and very, very merciful, will it be easy for you to do?
No.
No. So in that situation, cruelty is what will make you a bigger tzaddik. It'll make it easier for you to do what's right. On the other hand, that is obviously not the behavior that a person should always have. Right? If you then, after you bash this guy's brains in, right, you're walking down the street and a little old lady trips in front of you. You should not bash her brains in. Then the proper thing to do is to help her up and be merciful. If you're cruel, you're going to have a little bit harder time doing that than if you're merciful. Now the behavior is be merciful, don't be cruel. So having a predisposition to cruelty does not make you a Rasha, nor does a predisposition to mercy make you a tzad. Because there are situations where cruelty is what's proper, and there are situations where mercy is what's proper. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos is telling us a fact of life. People are different and born with character. People are not born characterless, and they develop it through their life. They're born with a character. You bring children home from a hospital, and you can have twins, and they're very, very different. You have little kids who are 2-3 years old, go to Gan. One of them, right, he comes home, doesn't have his shoes, doesn't have his shirt, right? His lunch he gave away. Very, what's it called, generous kid. He gives everything away. Another kid comes home with everybody else's shoes and shirts and lunch. He's a very stingy kid. He takes from everybody else. It's the nature of the child. There are children who by nature are very cruel children. They love to tear the wings off of flies and play with what's it called, the little bugs or whatever. Those are usually boys. And even though I have a granddaughter that her name is Chaya and she just loves animals and we never know what she's going to come home with. In any case, so you have people who are born with a disposition of being very merciful, squeamish, can't stand the sight of blood, and there's people that revel in that kind of gore. And it's part of their nature. You can't deny that people are born with personalities, with personality traits, like the Rambam says. But that does not make you a tzaddik or a rasha. How you use them, says the Rambam, is totally in your control, and nothing pulls you to either side, except yourself. You can expose yourself and condition yourself to certain behavior, and then you've decided to pull yourself to this side or that side. But ultimately, you are in control. You can be born with a predisposition to cruelty. And in the situation where cruelty is the proper thing, you have an easier time being a tzaddik. Where cruelty is not the proper thing, you can control it. You can suppress it. That's the power that a human being has. Nothing makes you use your cruelty or lack of cruelty or your mercy or lack of mercy in any way except yourself. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, behavior. But the fact that you have different midos, yeah. But nothing pulls you to use that mida at any specific time that makes you a tzaddik or a rasha. Memela, the Rambam also, when he speaks about chacham o tipesh, that is something that is not decreed. And yet the Gemara says it is. We're talking about completely two different things. The Gemara speaks about chacham o tipesh, that's IQ. Your IQ is determined pretty much when you're born. Some people are born with higher IQs, some people with less. You can perhaps enhance your IQ by a few points, or dull yourself by a few points. But if you're born with a 50 IQ, you're not going to be Einstein. No matter how hard you work on yourself, you have a 50 IQ. If you're born with 150 IQ, you're probably not going to be what's it called, low intelligence. Okay, you have to work very hard to not be a genius. So the Rambam, when he says that is decreed, what's it called, that's not decreed, is not talking about that. That's what the Gemara is talking about. The Rambam is talking about something else. Chacham osachol. Chacham osachol means wise or foolish. Has nothing to do with IQ. You can be a genius and be a fool. And you can be a unintelligent person and be very, very wise. It depends how you act. Geniuses sometimes act like fools. And people with low IQs many times act very wisely. So when the Rambam says that you can be as smart or as foolish, he's not talking about IQ. That's what the Gemara is talking about. He's talking about behavior, acting wisely or acting foolishly, not what your IQ is. So therefore we distinguish between the following. A person is born definitely with a character, with personality traits. And you can have person A, right? Rachel is born with midos that she is more prone to be cruel, and Leah more prone to be merciful. Rachel more prone to be generous, and Leah more prone to be stingy. That doesn't make Rachel or Leah tzaddikim or rishoyim. Because you can use your stinginess at the right time in the right way, and you can suppress it when it's not supposed to be used. You can use your mida of generosity at the right time in the right way and suppress it when it's not necessary. So either of them can be a tzaddik or a rasha, despite the fact that they were born with different midos, because the midos are parith. No mida is good or bad. It's parith. Depends how you use it. However, this is very nice, but it's really not true. Because certain midos, 99% of the time, can be used for the good. And only 1% of the time are bad. For instance, let's go back to being cruel and merciful. What do you think, situations that come up in people's lives, right? And your nature is to be cruel. And your friend's nature is to be merciful. Situations in life, most of the time, the good ones are being merciful and the bad ones are being cruel. So if I have a predisposition to cruelty, I'm going to have to suppress my character 99% of the time and only use it 1% of the time. It's harder to suppress it than use it. But if you have a predisposition to mercy, You're going to have to suppress your nature 1% of the time and use it 90% of the time. So you have a greater chance of being a tzaddik than I do. So there is something that's pushing me. Your character still has an effect on your behavior. So there are three factors that make it more fair, that still even it out. And that's what you were saying. Now we'll put it into practice here. Firstly, and the Vilna Gaon pretty much says these things. First thing, true. Some people have midos that more of the time could be used for the good, and some have midos that more of the time could be used for the bad. So it doesn't seem to be fair. But we have many midos. If we'd only have one midah, cruelty and mercy, then it wouldn't be fair. Some people are more predisposed to cruelty. And true, they can control it or suppress it, but most of the time they're going to have to suppress it. And some people can be prone to mercy. They're only going to have to suppress it 1% of the time and use it 99% of the time. But we don't only have one midah. On the one hand, I may be predisposed to cruelty, but I may be generous. You may be predisposed to mercy, but you may be stingy. So in one midah, my midah is easier to use for the good. In my other midah, the midah is easier to use for the bad. You have one that's easier to use for the good and one that's easier to use for the bad. So in the end, it evens out. However, that doesn't always work either. Because some people we know either have a predominance of good personality traits or a predominance of bad personality traits that they were born with. Again, it doesn't make you a tzaddik or a rasha, but it surely makes it more difficult. I'm stingy, cruel, right, whatever, dumb, right? Take them all together, and I'm going to have a lot harder time being a tzaddik than you, who are merciful and generous and smart. So it's not fair, right? Because it doesn't even out. Because you have a predominance of character traits that you were born with that are more noted towards the good side, easier than the bad side, and I have the opposite. Next condition that makes that more fair, that the Ribbono Shel Olam brings you in your life situations that fit your personality. So people are faced with situations in life that fit their character traits. God is the one who brings situations in your life to you. That's what it means that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give you a test that you can't pass. Meaning he fits the situations in your life to your character. So in that respect, it makes it a little bit easier, because the Ribbono Shel Olam takes in consideration what your character is when he brings the things in life that you're going to have to deal with. And thirdly, to make it fair, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes that in consideration. And he rewards and punishes people based on their handicap. In other words, let's say the following. Let's say I'm more predisposed to anger. I have a short temper. I was born with a short temper. And you were born to be very cool, calm, collected, complacent. You rarely lose your temper by nature. Okay. Somebody walks into a room and steps on both of our toes and we both lose it. Who's going to be punished more for losing their temper? Me or you? I'm the one who's predisposed to anger. You. Because God knows it was easy for me to lose my temper. But you by nature are complacent. How'd you lose your temper? You got to work on it harder. You got to lose more control. If both of us control our temper and we don't lose it, who's going to get more reward? Me. So therefore, taking all this in consideration, in the long run, it evens out. But it is true that people are born with different character traits. That's the Rambam Hilchos Deis. Whether that makes a person a tzaddik or a rasha, in how he behaves, no such thing. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. You can control and suppress any character trait. Use it when it's good, suppress it when it's bad. you, just because you were born with any character trait does not make you more prone to be a tzaddik or a rasha. Now, those are the two Rambams. Now let's apply it. When Esav and Yaakov were conceived, and maybe even way before that, they were destined to be two different people, two different characters, completely. I, what's it called, want to conjecture the following. I don't have any 100% rayas. There are some midrashim that seem to point to this idea. Yitzchak Avinu, the Medrash says, could have had 12 shvatim, just like Yaakov. He didn't. But it's not far from the possibility that he had two shvatim. Yaakov and Esav could have been both shvatim in Klal Yisrael. And there are two kinds of leaders in Klal Yisrael. There's the Kohen Gadol, who's more the spiritual leader, and there's the Melech, who's more the physical leader. The character traits of a Melech and a Kohen Gadol are completely different. The Kohen Gadol is an Ishalom person who, what's it called, doesn't go out and fight and do wars. He's a very less physical, more spiritual. The Melech, on the other hand, has to go out and fight wars. He has to be, the character of a Melech has to be very, very aggressive, physical. I want to say that had everything worked out perfectly, had Yaakov and Esav both exercised their free will properly, they both would have been part of Klal Yisrael. And even though the Rabbanu Shlom said, Ki bi Yitzchak yikari lechazara, only in Yitzchak, but not all of Yitzchak, Yitzchak could have had other children. And Yaakov and Esav both would have been part, and the other children would not have been Zera Yitzchak. Nowhere did it say... Hello? Hello? Who is this? I can't speak to you right now, okay? I'm mamish waiting for some calls that are pikuach nefesh, and I'm in the middle of a shiur. Okay, so please call me a little bit later, okay? Okay. Possibly, had both Yaakov and Esav used their Bechira properly, they both could have been tzaddikim, and they both could have been part of Klal Yisrael, and that would have been like two shvatim. Shevet Esav would have been the Malachim, and Shevet Yaakov would have been the Kohanim. How do I know that there is such a thing, that possible? Because Esav had the midos of someone else in history, or someone else in history had the same midos as Esav. Who was that? David HaMelech. Admoni v'yefeinai. So that lends me to believe that the midos that Esav had were the midos of a melech. Except David HaMelech used those midos properly, suppressed them when he had to, and the Gemara, the Midrash says that. What was the difference between Esav and David? They both were prone to kill, except this one killed Alpi Bezdin and this one killed with his own whims. They both had the netiah towards cruelty, aggressiveness, but one of them used it when it was proper and suppressed it when it was proper, and one of them used it and didn't suppress it when it was improper too. That's the only difference. But character-wise, personality-wise, that was the personality of Esav. Okay. And therefore, Esav, who was supposed to, if he would have used his midos properly, was supposed to be a melech, was conceived with the midos that befit a melech. And Yaakov, who was supposed to be the Kohen, was conceived with midos that would fit a Kohen. So they were very different children, but doesn't make one a tzaddik, one a rasha. It says that one wanted to go out to serve Avodah Zarah, doesn't say that. If you find me a medrash that says that Esav wanted to go out to serve Avodah Zarah, then this whole thing is... But I didn't find any such a medrash. It just says he wanted to go out. That's all. It didn't say what he wanted to do. Therefore, it's possible the following. First of all, the Talmidim of the Arizal asked the following question. It says, whenever Rivka passed by a base of Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to go out. What was Rivka doing by a base of Avodah Zarah? You're not allowed to be around those places. every time she passed. Sounds like she was there all the time. Says the Talmidim of the Arizal that Rivka, who understood people who were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, went to be Makar of these people. She knew them. She understood them. So she went to these places to Makar of the people. Who says that Esav didn't want to come out and do the same thing? Doesn't say that Esav wanted to serve Avodah Zarah. He was attracted to Avodah Zarah. Why? Because a melech has to have a very gashmiistic personality. Because that's what he's involved in. He's involved in seeing to it that the gashmius of the world is kept in tow and developed properly. He has to deal with evil and destroy evil or whatever. So a melech who has that more gashmiistic personality is drawn to the most gashmiistic place in the world, like a magnet, which is the place of Avodah Zarah, where they take spirituality and make it into gashmius. He's not drawn to it to serve Avodah Zarah necessarily. He's drawn to it because that is where his personality leads him. Not to serve Avodah Zarah, but to be drawn to places that are more physical. Because a melech has to deal with the physicality of the world. So Memela, he's created to be drawn towards the physical things in the world. Doesn't make him a Rasha. He could destroy the Avodah Zarah. He could change it. He could do a million things. But he's drawn to that part of the world. What he'll do with it is his Bechira. But not necessarily he's going to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah, yeah. Yeah, two separate nations. They'll be different. They'll have a different tafkid, and the goyim can be. The truth is that the shvatim are called like that too, right? Each one's a nation to itself, almost. Goyu kahal goyim yimekob. Yaakov is told when he has a shvat. Okay. Yeah.
So then, like, why was David his profession? Like, he was like a shepherd. That's not a very physical.
That's before he became the king. He became the king. He was a person who went out and fought and battled, and he also killed Goliath when he was a shepherd.
Right. So, but then if he was innately physical, then shouldn't he be drawn to being like a soldier?
Yes and no. It could be in the beginning of his life he developed this part of him, and then when he got older, he developed the other parts of him.
And why does Esav have to be drawn to a bazaar? Can't he be drawn to food?
Yeah, but the most physical place in the world is where you take spirituality and turn into physicality. So that's like a magnet, he's drawn to that. It doesn't say anywhere that Yaakov wanted to go out and learn Torah. But since Yaakov was created with a personality that was more predisposed to spirituality, he was drawn towards places that were spiritual. That doesn't make him a tzaddik. You can be drawn towards spirituality and sit on top of a mountain and contemplate your navel for the rest of your life, right? As there are gurus that do. And they're very spiritual, but they are definitely not tzaddikim. There are people who are drawn to Bate Medrashos, who enjoy that kind of environment. They never learn a word. They drink a little coffee, smoke some cigarettes, walk around, what's it called? They never learn a word of Torah, but they love being around in a base medrash. It's just more ethereal. That doesn't make you a tzaddik. But you're drawn to that environment. That's more the style of my personality. So you can be drawn to spirituality and be a rasha, and you can be drawn to physicality and be a tzaddik. Doesn't say anything about tzaddik or rasha. It's just they were different personalities. Okay. Now, let's go on. Therefore, before they were born, they were very different children. But they weren't a tzaddik or a rasha. That's why the first 13 years, everybody knew they were little kids. This one was more interested in hunting. This one was more interested throughout the 13 years. But that was not behavior. That was personality. And nobody took notice of that because personality means absolutely nothing until they were 13. At 13, they began to use their personalities, and then people took notice. Now there was something to notice. And in fact, Reb Shamshon Feuerherz says that Medrash is an indictment of Rivka and Yitzchak. because it says that they sent them to the same school, they came home from school, they went to school, nobody took notice. So maybe had they taken notice and not sent them to the same school, how could you send an Esav and a Yaakov, such two different personalities, to the same school? Either it's going to be for good for Esav or good for Yaakov. It can't be good for both of them. So had they noticed the differences and given them direction, Chanoch Lenara Pidarko, would have been a different story. So that's why nobody took notice until they started to behave according to their personalities. Then people took notice. That's when they were bar mitzvah. Okay. So fine. So nobody considered whether it's tzaddikim, rishayim, they were two different personalities, and that's all it was. Okay, fine. But now, when Esav is 15, doesn't Yitzchak know that he committed three sins? That what I said doesn't fit anymore. Esav now is using his personality for rishus. He's a murderer, an immoral, an idolater. Now it's not just he's drawn to Avodah Zarah. He, what's it called? He's Lechora served Avodah Zarah. That's what Chazal say. He murdered somebody. So, at this point, Yitzchak should take notice. This is no longer Esav's personality. This is behavior. The answer is very clear to me in one of them. And therefore, the other two seem to be a little bit contrived. But you have to say something like this, because in one of them, it's clear. Which one? Murder. Okay, Esav was a murderer. Who did he murder? Nimrod. Nimrod was the arch Russia of the world. If somebody would have murdered Hitler, would he be considered a villain, a murderer, or a hero? A hero. 100% hero. He rid the world of this tyrant. So Esav kills Nimrod. Yitzchak Avinu hears, my son killed Nimrod, the arch tyrant of the world. He's 15 years old. He's starting on a career of malchus, unbelievable. At 15 already, he's killed the arch villain of the world. What could be a better melech? So why did Chazal say that he was a murderer? Because if you kill Nimrod to rid the world of Rishus, you're a hero. If you kill Nimrod because you want his uniform, you want his clothes, then you're a murderer. But Yitzchak, or anybody, even Esav himself could have fooled himself into thinking that he was doing a mitzvah. And therefore, since by Nimrod it's clear that that's the case, we have to say something by the other ones, the same thing. Esav went and served Avodah Zarah. Maybe like we said before, Esav said, you know, someday I'm going to have to destroy this Avodah Zarah. So I have to be a double agent. I have to go and let them think that I'm theirs on their side, so I can infiltrate them and one day destroy them. You know that was done here in Israel in the 1950s? There were children that were taken by the Catholic Church and put into monasteries after the Holocaust. They were given over to Christians in Europe, and the Christians didn't give them back after the war, or the parents were killed. And they were raising them as Christians. And they were in monasteries here and in convents. And there were yeshiva bachrim and girls that volunteered to masquerade as people who wanted to join these convents or whatever and these monasteries to get inside and in order to be able to get these kids out.
What happened to Navi once?
Navi?
One of the kings was gonna
Yoshio. That they hid him.
So that he called together all the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and he was making it seem as if he wanted to worship it with them, and then he killed all of them because
so he's a double agent. And they allowed them to go in without yarmulkes, and that they should never suspect that they're really from Jews. And they were able then to expose this Avodah Zarah, and who said that Esav didn't want to do that? At least he could fool Yitzchak into thinking. Okay, Melech has to be in very not palatable places. Right? Melochim do that. And how about the Gili Arayis? It says that Esav was bo al narahamu urasa, which means basically he seduced a woman who was engaged. Now, after the Torah was given, our erusin creates marriage. Before the Torah was given, it meant nothing. It's today like our engagement today. When you announce you're engaged, you're not married. You are still an unmarried woman. And if somebody lives with you, you're not chayiv misa or whatever. It's a minimal sin. It's not chiyuvei misa. Okay? Couldn't you see Esav saying the following? I am the son of Yitzchak and Rivka. Here is a poor woman who's engaged to an idol worshiper. If I seduce her and she becomes my Pelegesh or whatever, I've saved her from a life of idolatry. So in the hope of being Makariv her, he's just Makariv her a little bit too much. Do you don't think there are people like that? That in the name of Kiruv, do a lot of Kiruv that is not kosher? People who feel that they're being Makariv, you know, women to men and men to women, and hug them and kiss them, and you know, and this is all Avas Yisrael. But it's not Avas Yisrael, it's Gilui Arayos. But it's done L'Shem Shamayim. So, and sometimes people can fool themselves into thinking that they're really involved in Kiruv. So here is my Melech. Malachim do things that are very, very unpalatable and on border on not so nice, like Yehuda and Tamar, like Lot and his daughters. That's where Malchus came from all these things that bordered on what appeared to be immorality. But that's a melech. So Esav could have fooled Yitzchak into thinking these were not averus. These were the product of a 15-year-old melech, budding melech, who killed Nimrod, who was Makariv people in a not such a, in a shadier way, and who went to undermine the Avodah Zarah. So why did Avram have to die? Why did Avram and Rivka recognize it and Yitzchak not? Because Avram was brought up amongst Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Rivka was brought up amongst fakers, and therefore she could spot a faker a mile away. Esav couldn't fool her. But Yitzchak was brought up, Yishmael was thrown out of the house, Lot was thrown out of the house, all he saw were tzaddikim. He couldn't imagine somebody who could be a faker. And he had a mitzvah of Don Lekavschos. If you know for sure somebody's a faker, then there's no Don Lekavschos. But if you have a doubt, it's a different story. So Yitzchak Avinu, who was not familiar with fakers, assumed that Esav was on the up and up. He gave him the benefit of the doubt. He's a budding melech. Rivka and Avram, on the other hand, different story. So Avram had to die. He would have seen it right away. Hold on. So in any case, so why didn't, what's it called? So therefore, Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav. Why? Because these are the brachas for a melech. Yaakov's a very nice guy, but he's a nice guy, sits in the base medrash, he's, you know, calm, complacent. He's not the guy who's going out to the nations that serve him, right? Heavy gevirli achechov. This is Yaakov. It's for Esav. Those brachas were for a person with the personality of Esav, who's going to be the melech, not for a Yaakov. And Yitzchak was still convinced that Esav has the personality of a melech. It's not a rasha. He's a melech. Okay, so he did some things that don't look so good. But that's what malachim do. That's why he doesn't say please and thank you. Malachim don't say please and thank you. Yes, they do when it's necessary, but he's only 15. He hasn't yet really got it down pat. And the Maral says, I think the Ramban says it too, why doesn't Esav mention God's name? Because he's from. Because Esav is in the forest all the time. And sometimes he's not allowed to mention God's name because the place isn't clean. So he's machmer never to mention God's name. It's frumkeit that he doesn't mention. But Yaakov, why should he mention God's name? He's in the base medrash all day. Yitzchak saw it all as part of the personality of his young budding melech. Rivka knew that Esav was a rasha. He wasn't using his personality for the good, he was using it for the bad. So why didn't she go and tell Yitzchak? Says Rav Shamshon Feuerl Hirsch, she could have done that. She could have told him. And then Yitzchak would have believed her, and he wouldn't have given the bracha to Esau, but he wouldn't have given it to Yaakov either, or he would have given it half-heartedly, because Yaakov, that's not him. This is the bracha from my melech. So my melech's a rasha. I don't have a melech. I'm going to give the bracha to the mountain, to the Kohen. But Rivka understood that Esau was completely out of the picture, and therefore all of Klal Yisrael, Malachim and Kohanim, would come from Yaakov. That means that Yaakov had to be able to have both personalities. So she said, I want you to go to your father, and I want you to prove to him that you deserve the bracha of the melech too. That if need be, you can convince him that you're Esav, and he'll be fooled. That means that you have the kochas of Esav too. And if you can convince him that, then he'll give you the bracha that what was supposed to be for Esav. Because then it fits you also. And that's exactly what Yitzchak said. Yitzchak said, Hakol kol Yaakov, I have his person in front of me. His voice is like Yaakov and his hands are like Esau. And therefore he blessed him because he didn't know he was. What do you mean, therefore he blessed him? Therefore he shouldn't have done anything. He said, no, I see that one person has both personality traits and deserves both brachas. So I'll give him the bracha. And it was clear to him then when Esau came in that he was completely out of the picture. He saw Gehenim and he realized that Esau's out of the picture. But bottom line, they both could have been tzaddikim. They both could have been rishoyim. Either one could have been a tzaddik or a rasha. Esav was a rasha because he chose to be a rasha, not because of his personality. He could have used his personality for the good. Yaakov could have used his personality for the bad. And personality does not make you a tzaddik or a rasha. How you use that personality is using it and suppressing it when necessary makes you a tzaddik or a rasha.